Well, good morning, everybody. We're GFBS, Grand Forks' best source on our show today. Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Mochensky. Show today brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, the place to go to get your oil changed like right now. Basically, no wait time. You can even sit in your vehicle, or maybe you could go do a little shopping. They're that fast. Also going to check your fluids, your wiper blades, your cabin air filter, all your lights, batteries, your tires. You know they do tranny and coolant flushes too. And no appointment needed. Timely service. It will not slow you down. Make sure you mention Grand Forks Best Source too. You'll get a $7 savings on your oil change. If you can't leave work, you live in town, they'll even come and pick your vehicle up. Locally owned and operated, open 7 days a week and very fast. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, 3325 South 38th Street, or call 701-780-8462. Make sure you tell them Grand Forks Best Source sent you. If you got any questions for Mayor Mochensky or any of us, you can text us or call us. Our phone number is 701-213-0863. Again, 701-213-0863. And before we get rolling, it is time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. And here we go. What's the difference between baseball and politics? What is the difference between baseball and politics? Well, in baseball, you're out if you're caught stealing. Katie, what'd you think of that one?
Sounds like a steal joke right there.
Mr. Mayor, how are you?
I'm good. You know, the jokes my neighbor tells me is my favorite part of your whole segment, so I should just leave after that while we're ahead.
Come on. Hey, how'd the holidays go for you?
It went really great. Christmas was great. New Year's was going great. I just had the last little hockey game with the kiddos out on the lake. Must have been the day after or 2 days after New Year's, and still got to teach those youngsters to keep their sticks down.
Yeah, it looks like you lost that battle.
6-year-old got me the high stick and sliced me pretty good. And yeah, well, they thought it was cool. I think it was the first time they got to see blood on the ice.
So oh, boy.
Yeah. Of course, it was mine. That was not the first time I got to see my own blood on the ice. So.
So, you know, back in the day, would they just take you in the locker room, stitch you up, and throw you back out there?
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. You know, usually if you got a cut early in the period, you just try to cover it up or put a Band-Aid on it or something, mm-hmm. and get stitched up in between periods so you didn't have to miss a shift. But I've been stitched up, you know, in a bathroom. I've been stitched up on a table on the side of the rink. I mean, wherever you got to go, as long as you can lay flat and they, you know.
Yeah, as long as they can stop the bleeding, right?
Yeah, a lot of times if you're only, you know, doing, you know, 5 or less stitches, there's not really a whole lot of point in getting any Novocaine in there because that hurts just as much as a stitch.
So. Oh, yes. I know that. What do you think about Team USA winning the World Juniors there?
That was just great to see.
Got it.
You know, other places take the World Junior Tournament a lot more seriously than I think the U.S. does.
I think you're right.
It's a big deal in hockey. In other countries, it's an even bigger deal. So it's always nice to rub that into my friends that are, well, both Canadians and Russians to say, because I know it is a big deal to me too, but not as big of a deal as it is to them. So
right,
I'm able to rub it in their faces when we take it home like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that call themselves hockey fans, but true hockey fans, I think, really get into the World Junior Tournament. I enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be our typical Canada versus U.S. in the gold medal game luck, but and it worked out for the best.
Well, we've got the experience of having had it here, too, mm-hmm. so that gets people with a little more knowledge on it, where, I mean, if you went to Texas, people probably have no clue, really.
Right, right. What do you think about UND's schedule? I mean, they were down in the pod for a month. They come back, or they're going to have a week off. They're supposed to go back down to Omaha. That gets postponed. They're supposed to go back here. That gets postponed, and now they're heading out to Colorado.
Well, you know, they went to the pod in Omaha, because Omaha had that world-class infectious disease specialist. Everything was so sterile and so great down there, and that was the whole reason the pod was there. And apparently their players hadn't gotten it before or just got it and kind of screwed the whole thing up. But I think we all want to see hockey, but maybe we'll get to have a few more fans in the stands now. It looks like the state might be going up to 5. We might be able to get 3,500 in there. So mm-hmm. it's starting to tread in the right direction. So maybe we'll get one extra home game with some more people.
We got Cale Bergeron says, tell him we need to start the Grand Forks Winter Classic.
Hey, I like it. Why don't we have do it out in the river? Find a good spot.
Oh, that'd be great.
We could just line up the banks. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we were
awesome to watch that.
Oh, would. We were just on the river, on the Red Lake River behind my house last weekend ice fishing, and it had just about a foot of ice.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Otherwise, I think in 2 years, if this beacon project goes through, similar to lights in Fargo at the townhouse there, there's going to be a big hockey. They got it set up in Fargo now. It looks great.
Awesome.
I think that would be a pretty cool thing, even if we had... you know, UND even did a scrimmage. They could scrimmage the old UND.
Sure.
See if we still got it.
That would be awesome. Kind of like a Hall of Fame thing. Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about politics. First off, the whole election, all this kind of crap. Do you think that there was any voter fraud going on across the U.S.?
Oh, I think it's hard to not think there was at least some to the level. You know, who knows? It's really difficult. You've really got to trust the system.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain degree, I think there's a lot of angst out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, you can see that with that frustration what was it, January 6th, a few days ago at the Capitol. You know, people are locked down. They're frustrated. They feel like they're being lied to and cheated on. And that's you know, leads to that frustration and kind of ugly scenes like that.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny looking at some of this footage that people took with cell phones and things like that. You know, you would think it'd be about the most secure place in the world. But how these people just kind of managed to get through, you know, and you know, a lot of those people on the other side say a wall doesn't work or a fence doesn't work, but obviously it didn't work at the Capitol.
Well, I think the way that we've handled protesters in this country has been with, you know, obviously somebody passed away there, but has been a little bit more to let them run their course and be done with that. You saw that in was that autonomous zone and that police station out there. During some of the BLM Antifa stuff. So it seems to be, you know, let it run its course, but that can still be dangerous too. It's, you know, we're getting away with those days with the whole, it seems like with the whole guarded line with all their three-quarter shields and everything, which, you know, I don't know which direction to go. I haven't been a real big, you know, active protester, I guess.
Sure.
If I was going to get in activism, I'd try to do it through this means and to run for politics. Because a lot of times people that are protesting, not always, but a lot of times they are maybe looking at fixing other people's problems rather than kind of looking inside sometimes and fixing their own first.
What did you think about, speaking of protests, Brian Phillippe on the bridge?
Yeah, I
see. He got the booth the other day. But, you know, we actually interviewed him a couple of times, Mr. Mayor, and pretty well-versed, knew what he was talking about. But overall, a good guy. I think he was... a little PO'd about getting kicked off the bridge, but you know, I don't think, was that a local call, or you probably don't have any idea?
I think
it was the highway patrol, but I'm not sure.
That's the state road, because that crosses a border too, so that's not really the city's jurisdiction, let's say. But yeah, that was a peaceful protest though.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if he believes that and wants to show that, then he has every right to do that. And I think they gave him a fair bit of time. I never got to go by and actually see him, but no, that's certainly his right.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Grand Forks now, since you are the mayor of Grand Forks. COVID restrictions in bars and restaurants getting eased off a little bit. Is that today that starts?
It starts today. The governor announced that, I guess, 3 days ago. It's been, you know, locally we've started to follow the governors that kind of took over. I suppose it was back in early November now, so we've been a lot, really just following his guide there, and I think businesses were happy. I know, like, a Buffalo Wild Wings could probably have some more people safely, and they were bumping up against that 150. You know, it's looking at what's going on the east side, it still breaks your heart.
Yeah.
I had a colleague of mine said his wife went over there to get pick up a sandwich. I can't remember what restaurant that she had gone to, and she just, like you normally do, you know, how's it going after she got the sandwich? The owner broke down and started crying.
Oh, boy.
And it's terrible. You know, and that doesn't just happen overnight. That's a long period of frustration and probably someone that knows they're about to lose their business and everything they fought for. And there's not enough help.
It's just so hard to watch because the border, we're not even like 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes away, but it's close by and we kind of see it, everything.
And all the people can come over here.
It's just
your businesses. It's not like they're changing their behaviors. If
they
want to go out, they're still going out. They're just not going to go to their own business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a bizarre thing that almost separates our two sides of the, you know, East Grand Forks and Grand Forks. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's too bad. You know, it's all because of that river. You know, it's so easy to just come over to this side of the bridge, but that is what it is. It's good, though, that the numbers are declining. They're dropping. The positive COVID-19 hits, they're dropping. You know, maybe we're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel here, hopefully soon.
Yeah, I'm not really, you know, people said we're going to have the second wave of the winter. That didn't really quite materialize. I don't think we're going to have that now. I think we're looking good, the vaccine. You know, I was just talking to Spencer in my office, and he said, you know, I do reffing, and you start looking at the numbers now, and we'll have these reffing meetings, and I'm meeting with four people, and two of them have already had COVID, and the other one's is a healthcare worker and has been vaccinated. So there's really not as much possible chance for that virus to move around as much anymore. And some other places, we got hit hard and we got hit quick. And some other places, it's really been long and drawn out. And I don't know what's better, but it sure seems like we got loss of life in both places.
Yeah.
Maybe not as bad on the loss of economic, you know, business and depression, despair, financial loss. That's going to be years to come for the other places.
Alcohol, drug abuse, all of it is going through the roof right now. We have a text here. I want to bring to Bo's attention. Seems like the school board and task force is going to ask for higher taxes and increase in mill levy. Please have them assure better education outcomes and maybe stop with all unnecessary spending. My goodness. What do you think about that?
Geez, that's a very true statement. It's hard. How do you, you know, there was mismanagement there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you just write a big check as taxpayers to them to and then hope that it's better this time? I mean, how do you not end up in that spot 10 years from now? I'm really hoping some of these moves that we're making with development projects are starting to raise that mill value will help out in the long run. But we've got to sort of plant those trees today. And, you know, we're going to be going in front of the school board here coming up on these development projects, which over 30 years are going to end up adding $30 million to our four political subdivisions. So a lot of it on the back end, but these projects wouldn't happen otherwise. So the school board's got to get on board with that. And we'll be going there on Monday to talk to them about that. But they've, of course, you know, education is very important to me.
Yeah.
And very important to a well-versed community and a strong community. So we've got to have the funding there. I'm trying to tighten up the city as best I can. So, that there is not that big hit and we're kind of tightening up so that the school board can have that extra money. So I really hope they do the best they can. Of course, it's not under our control.
Right.
And just, you know, maybe some public pressure.
We're going to ask more questions here with Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Bochensky in just a minute, but I want to remind you all about the Beehive and the Valley Drifters Buzz Run going on starting in Reynolds tomorrow at the Beehive. Let's see, $10 to enter a sled. Start registration at 9. Judging starts at 10. 1 o'clock, hopefully they're still going to ride to Brewski's and Thompson and then back to the Beehive in Reynolds. Awards at 5 o'clock, prizes, food at the Beehive. Going to be a great time. There's a bunch of different classes that you can register your vintage snowmobile in. It's going to be a safe, fun time. You won't get stung. If you want to find out more, 218-779-2110 is the phone number. Beehive and the Valley Drifters, it's the Buzz Run. Tomorrow, Beehive in Reynolds, Grand Forks Best Source, going to be there. Going to be a great time. Back with Mayor Bochensky. Mr. Mayor, Prairie Dog Dollars. What is it, $2.5 million? I think Grand Forks is getting. Any ideas how that's going to be spent?
Yeah, so originally the plan was to do the Assyrian Radio State Interoperable Radio Network was about $1.2 million of that. We ended up using CARES funding for that. So this $2.5 million, we're going to be able to put right into the roads. So we're going to be, you know, people want nice roads, but they don't want them worked on either.
There's
going to be a lot of construction on trying to fix potholes and just the normal stuff that a city needs to do. So we're going to pump a lot of that into that transportation infrastructure.
Compliance checks. I saw New Year's Eve. They did a few of them. You know, I stay home on New Year's Eve usually, but it seems like, and now it's going to be better easing the restrictions and stuff. But, as some of the business owners were saying, it was hard for them to keep everything in check and follow the guidelines. It's kind of something we figured was probably going to happen on occasional days.
I think they did the best they can. The police went around. There was four places that were kind of borderline. They just talked to them, and they said, hey, we're doing the best we can. And, you know, they kind of cleaned it up a little bit, got the numbers right, and moved on. It wasn't I think it was a good idea just to check on things and make sure.
Let them know they're still out there.
The right way. But there was, nobody was trying to write anybody a ticket or anything.
Right.
And for the most part, it went off with fairly well without a hitch compared to most years. New Year's Eve, there's always those nights when something's going to happen.
Amateur night.
It's like the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl always causes destruction in whatever town it's in, one way or another.
Yeah. But, so being the mayor, do you get bumped up at the top of the line then for a COVID vaccine? Have you been vaccinated?
I have not been vaccinated. I know you've seen like AOC and others that have gotten vaccinated. I guess I don't think I'm more important than healthcare workers and first responders. I think they're more important. So I did not put myself at the top of any list. Although I will say when my time comes and if you know, I'm not a person that's afraid of the vaccine. I think where we're at today in life, I've been vaccinated probably 12 times already.
Yeah.
Granted, they had time to study those vaccines longer, but we've come a long way. I'm not really in that anti-vaccine camp, although I do get nervous every time I see Bill Gates on TV holding something in his hand.
Join the crowd.
Yeah. Why is Bill Gates holding a vaccine in his head? He's a tech guy. What is he? Yeah. Why? That just scares me.
But, yeah, what med school did you go to there, William?
Yeah.
Bailey Bjergi, by the way, says, Happy New Year, Brandon Bochensky. He's my favorite mayor.
Oh, I got to give a huge shout out to Bailey. Actually, I want to send a message to Bailey now. I know she's a often listener on this show. Bailey, we had to miss our birthday party last year because of COVID and we weren't able to get together. But I say we go at the same, our birthdays are just a day or two apart. So we're going to have a shared birthday party last year and it got shut down. So we're going to do it this year and we're going to do it right and big. So hopefully by April 4th, April 5th, we'll be able to do that.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's see. Changes in the Renaissance Zone program. Tell us about that.
That's right along lines of what I campaigned on. It wasn't just the focus on downtown. So with the Renaissance Zone, you get 24 square blocks since we've taken away some of them from downtown and stretched it out along Gateway now and added actually a couple more around here. So we've expanded this zone here. And that just makes it easier to do development, easier.
Sure.
There's just different levers that you can pull through the Renaissance Zones that make your tax burden a little bit easier, and it makes it easier to do some redevelopment. So it's just kind of following through on one of my campaign promises, and community development helped out on kind of where exactly that was the best, and we got it lined up.
And then we go back to downtown. We got the construction incentives, St. John's Building, Lions Auto, the Townhouse, Memorial Stadium. Really, when you think about it, it's big news.
Yeah,
because there's really not much going on in any of those buildings or places. I mean, one's getting torn down. Memorial Stadium obviously hasn't been used in years, but this could be a good thing for Grand Forks too.
Here's the bigger picture here. It's the momentum. I mean, granted, three of these are downtown. The other one's on UND campus, which will add something to the tax rolls that was never there. But it's to build momentum so we can do more of these projects. Like, for example, at the old Holiday Inn on Gateway, Grand Forks Inn and Suites, I think they call it now, and the Columbia Mall. The Columbia Mall has lost, if you talk just the mall, in 2010, it was worth almost $29 million on the tax rolls. It's $11.3 today.
Wow.
It's lost $18 million.
Holy.
Add in Sears and Macy's, those were just, they're separate. They were both just under $5
million,
or just under six, five and change, and now they're both in the $1 million range. So you've lost another $6 or $7 million there. So when you have all these houses, you can have 200, 300 houses built.
Sure.
And you're not making up the difference. So it seems like you're growing. But when you have that tax revenue loss there, you're not catching up and your mill rate's not rising. So we want to get the momentum to start before these projects get so low in value, before someone can actually afford to make the investment. Let's jump ahead of it. And that's what the tax incentives do. And you get a little taste of that up front and you wait till the incentive period's over. Then you get the big chunk. And that's, like I said, you got to plant the trees now for what you can, for having a 20-year You can't, what was the saying? You can't have a 20-year tree if you plant it today.
Right.
20-year-old tree if you plant it today. It takes time.
Classroom learning, back. Again, another sign of things getting back to normal. Have you heard from anybody in the education department or the district how that's going?
Terry Brenner and a few others, the superintendent Brenner and Catherine Gillich, a couple of them said it was really, I mean, you can just talk to the parents, but they said it's been great. It's been a really great unrolling and a lot of excitement. Feels like the first day of school again. I think there was a collective get the heck out of my house from all the parents.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that was a real win all the way around. And it was broken. It wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to be able to continue.
I mean, let's face it. If I was at home teaching my child, if I still had somebody that young, I guarantee you the grades wouldn't be as good as if they were back in a classroom.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't want them to end, but I just got this number. They've had 100%, since they've been back, they've had 100% fill for any of the substitute teachers. They had more than, or up to almost 100 teachers a day that they were having to substitute fill back before they shut it down. So it was an impossible task.
A couple of more quick texts here, Mr. Mayor, from Joey. Is there anything we can do to the South End to get anything other than professional / medical parks and Edward Jones offices? I mean, you live out in that neck of the woods. So
yeah, there's some expansion that would come to choice. I'd love to see more down there. It seems like for whatever reason, like the restaurant when the Wild Hog was there, it just didn't work out. This hasn't been enough momentum, I think, quite down. You know, they had planned a Hugo's down there too. I think it'll come, but you got to get the things, you know, things in there that make financial sense first. But I don't know if Joey's got some money. We could maybe partner and have put something there. But.
There you go. Mr. Mayor, I know you're in a hurry today. You've got a busy schedule, but one more text and one more question for you. Marie says, it's so nice to have a people's mayor. Thank you, Bochensky. Happy New Year.
Wow.
Gotta like hearing that.
Yeah, thank you. I guess all I did is when I became mayor, I just kept doing what I normally do. Mm-hmm. So that's been easy, I guess, on that front. And
well, I know even John Bernstrom says you are quite a bit different than the mayor before you. You are definitely a hands-on guy. He says you are probably one of the busiest people he knows.
I have to add on that, too. You play tennis as well, at choice.
How about man, you're just
too, you know?
Hey, I try it. Well, like I got to have my release there as I go play tennis. It's not quite the same when you score a goal, but you hit a winner down the line and you still feel good. Yeah.
I have a suggestion for the South End. Bring back Water World.
Oh.
Oh, boy. I even forgot that place existed.
Oh, geez. Hey, there's a lot of things that could be done down there. The sky's the limit, but
because let's face it,
pocketbook can be too.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's face it, the town isn't really going to grow to the north, at least I don't think. On some sad news, Mr. Mayor, former First Lady Gail Clifford passing away. I'm sure you knew Gail, one heck of a lady. Our condolences going out to Kim and Tommy, a couple of old schoolmates of mine. And also former State Senator Lonnie Lafine passing away. Shocking news, I think, with both of these people passing away. But did you know... Gail Clifford?
Gail Clifford, I mean, this one's going to kind of choke me up a little bit. She sent me a note. At first she sent me a campaign donation and said, you know, really great to see what you're doing. And she sent me a check for $500.
Wow.
Saying, you know, I really like what you're saying. I like that to have some new energy out there. And then she sent me a handwritten note. And, you know, I called up Tommy Kenville and said, you know, Ma sent this over. He's like, really? I'm like, oh, that's kind of surprising. I didn't tell her to do that or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have that sitting in my office today. And it, it just kind of makes it a little more personal with her passing.
Yeah.
Tommy Lafine, Tim Rick. I mean, there's just been some sad days. And I think, I didn't know Tim or Lonnie very well, but, when people die, you realize how loved they were, and the people, you can clearly see the people around them really love those people. So.
Yeah, and we're going to miss them both. Lafine's been on the show before, and of course, like I said, I grew up with Tommy Kenville. Some great people. What's coming up in your schedule for the next week or two? Any big news? Anything that people should be knowing about?
We're finally kind of moved. Well, the vaccine's obviously is the biggest thing. We're getting that plan unveiled. It's statewide. We've done a pretty good job. Countrywide, I think it's been a little sloppy, the rollout. Nobody, if you could have an idea how many vaccines you were getting and when you were going to get them,
it'd
be pretty easy. But when you have 22 providers here that are going to hand vaccines out and none of them know how many they're getting and when they're getting them, and then to try to set up lists and everything, we're going to try to have that as organized as possible, because that's the most important thing that's going to save lives. So we're probably early next week, we'll have a press conference on that. But beyond COVID, it's economic developments. These projects is starting to try to get something done at Columbia Mall and some other places in town, and maybe some more entertainment type of things. There's more to come on that front, but I want to start to get back to some of those campaign promises that got put on hold because of the whole pandemic.
Yeah, boy, it's just turned the whole world upside down, and what a time to be elected mayor. I mean, definitely had your work cut out for you, and you still do.
I had to look back. So someone told me to look back the other day. What was it like? So I'm thinking, we got into office. Okay. I was going to the office on Tuesday. There was a protest here for the George Floyd thing that the day before I got into office, which was weird because it was half me kind of handling, half the old mayor. And then, you know, we came off of flooding. We had a police shooting. We had a pandemic. We had to cut budget, cut the budget. There was just a whole heck of a lot going on, and we've gotten through it. We've managed to set a budget that actually cut property taxes. We've got economic development stuff coming forward. We've managed to run the city and not have a single lapse in services. The garbage gets picked up. You get clean water. Your wastewater isn't backed up and coming up through your shower sink. So shower and sink. So it's I think it's you know, coming in for 6 months, I think it's a good start. It's a had to jump in head first, but did the best I could. It wasn't perfect, but
have you ever had one of those days after a particularly long day where you come home at the end of the night, you're pulling your hair out and you're thinking to yourself, why the hell did I do this? But guessing, knowing you, you've probably never even thought that, have you?
I would say probably every Monday.
Oh, you do? No.
All right.
Those days get to be really long because you're preparing for the council meetings. Those can go on for a long time, and sometimes you're pulling your hair out because you're just – you want things to go smoothly, and you kind of hate the bad theater that it can become sometimes. And but all in all, I mean, my wife's been hugely supportive, and she always reminds me that you know, things would be different if you weren't in there. It's been hard on us, but mm-hmm. you know, we're happy that I guess in her case, someone she knows pretty well is in there.
Yeah. And we're glad here at GFBS that you are the mayor of Grand Forks now. And we hope you are. And I hope you run again, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
3.5 more years.
I know. I'm just going to throw that out there now. Mr. Mayor Brad Obolchinski, thank you. I know you've got other things that you've got to get going to. And we just appreciate it any time you can come into the studio.
Thanks for having me anytime.
And we'll see you next Friday.
Perfect.
All right. There you go. Oh, boy. Special thanks going out today to Executive Properties. You know, if you've been putting off that remodel or something new around your house long enough, let Executive Properties get it done. They do all types of commercial and residential work, kitchens, bathrooms, doors, siding, concrete, cabinets, trim and tile. You get the picture. Executive Properties, they'll take the time to listen to what you want done, and they're going to do it right. With over 30 years of experience, let Barry Romo and the crew take care of you. They have senior and referral discounts. They're willing to work with any budget, too, and they do snow removal. For all your general contractor needs, call them up, Executive Properties, 701-330-1273, or go to executiveproperties.org. Hey, make sure you check out those reviews on Facebook and Google, too. You're going to love their work. I know these guys personally. They do awesome work. Executive Properties, your one-stop company that can do it all for you. Hey, don't forget, a week from today, it's our open house ribbon cutting ceremony with the chamber. It's going to be a great time. About 4 o'clock here at the studios of Grand Forks Best Source. We're going to have some live music from the Heat Seekers, and we're all going to go over and raid BT and Rumors. It's going to be a blast. Hey, don't forget, we're now on Amazon Music. You tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast, and you are all set. Well, for the first time ever, we're going to interview somebody in Fargo on Monday. Yeah, Fargo Forest hockey coach PJ Lamoureux on the show. It's going to be a great one. Hey, you guys, have yourself a great weekend. Make sure you like us, share us, and tag us too, all right? See you in Reynolds tomorrow, the Beehive. We are Grand Forks Best Source, giving Grand Forks an identity again.